Hi, it's Haley from the newest Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Oak Creek. Come see me today. Haircuts are just $20. Lady Jane's, Oak Creek on Howell Ave, just south of Puth Road. Walk in anytime, 7 days a week, even Sundays. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6. It's Scal's
Over. Live from the Gruber Law Office, One Call, That's All Studios at Radio City.
Party,
this is Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby.
Another bet has been made here on Scalzo and Brust. Ben Brust can't help himself. It's like it's like going up to a window.
The show didn't even start.
It's like going up to a window, and every time you open the window, you got punched. And then you keep going up, and the punches kept getting harder. And then eventually you just convince yourself, you know what, this time when I open up the window,
I'm not going to get punched.
There's not going to be a fist flying through there. And sure enough, Ben Brust has bet Homer of Homer and Tony fame, weekdays 2 to 4, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. You can listen to Homer and Tony Smith. $50 on the national championship game tonight. Ben Brust riding Kansas at minus 4. Homer riding North Carolina at plus 4.
I'm down 550 right now. So this is to bring this to a flat 500
Ben
or a
Brust
flat 600.
Ben Brust is down 550 to Homer, and somehow is justifying that as, you know what, I'd rather be on a purely all even numbers. Well, not even all even numbers across the board. You just want to get two zeros to end it.
No, I just want action. If we're being honest. I've also been, this is the thing, I don't want to talk about it.
Here we go, Joshy.
No, I don't want to talk
about it.
I don't want to talk about it because it's been going so well that if I talk about it, it's going to go sideways.
Something,
you just talked about it.
Don't you think
there's something? I didn't go all in, though.
Don't you think there is something to the fact, though, that a month ago you were like, things are really bad. I can't. Like, Greg, I can't. Right. Like, I'm shutting everything down. I can't.
Did I say that on the air?
Yes. And now you are literally right back in it. I see the glimmer in your eye.
Oh, Greggy.
It is really bad.
7-0, the last seven bets.
There is nothing worse for Ben
Elite
Ross
Eight,
than
Kansas
that.
First half, Kansas game, Kansas
cares
under.
What they actually were.
Brought me back to life, baby! I'm even in the positive on one side. I'm in the positive! I'm in the positive! It's unbelievable!
Not on the Homer site.
No!
The Homer site.
No! I haven't been positive on that site since I've joined Milwaukee.
And the Homer site is coming to collect. Well, Homer also gave you a lot of flack on Friday, and I want to see how this ends because I do not know the answer to it. But we had a young fan call in named Jackson. And Jackson was a young fan who was going to the G League game on Friday night at the at Fiserv Forum. Bucks, Clippers, nobody was playing. Homer,
eight.
You can pop on.
No, I don't think it's ever happened in the NBA ever before in any game. Eight starters were out.
Eight starters were out between the Clippers and the Bucks.
I don't.
They were both on the back end of a back-to-back. And
unless they have cholera, there's no excuse.
Colorado.
No, unless they have a disease.
Cholera.
Like
I heard Colorado, too.
Cholera, not Colorado, but anyway.
What is cholera exactly?
I don't know, some disease like malaria or something. I don't know, something bad.
So this young Scalzo and Brust family member called in, and he sounded a lot like this. Jackson in Madison, you got a question for Benny Bucks. What do you got?
Okay, so I'm going to the Bucks game today for my birthday, and nobody's playing. So I'm wondering if you could get me anything.
If I can get you anything, what does
if
that
Ben
entail?
Can get me anything.
How can you make his birthday special?
Yeah, make his day, Ben.
If you come at halftime to section 107 I'll be in the radio broadcast, and at halftime, I'll meet you out there, and I can take you to a place where you probably wouldn't be able to go. I can't have you meet any players, but I can take you
horrible.
Around some places where you can't normally go.
All right.
Is that good enough? I feel like you shouldn't settle for that, Jackson.
Ask him
if he can get you an autograph, too.
No, that's great. Thank you.
All right.
That's a good kid.
That was Ben Bross going with the awkward vague. I can get you places that other people can't.
I didn't realize how bad that sounded until I just re-listened
to it. That's what he used to say to girls at the college club back in his UW-Madison days. I don't know what happened yet. Did you meet Jackson at the game? Because Homer came on right after that and said that was horrible. You're not doing him any favors. Homer, you thought that
you
was
you still believe
weak.
That was horrible?
Well, I don't know how it played itself out.
Well, as expected, I, at halftime, went outside the radio booth at Section 107, and Jackson was right there with his dad. So I had Jackson and his dad come into the radio booth. Jackson got to sit down where we sit, you know, put the headphones on, and take a picture of being in the Bucks Radio Network broadcast booth.
Ooh.
What else was I going to do at halftime? I'm working.
I mean, you could have had...
You just arrived there right at halftime, so you weren't there before the game at all.
I was. Yeah. I do my show until 6, and then I hop on the network pregame show right at 6:30.
Well, and that media...
Yeah, there's no time in there. There's nothing you could... Come on. That did. If the kid is happy, then that may have been special for him. You can be the judge of that, but that's weak.
What would you have done?
I'd have gotten a player... Pat Connaughton, I got 8.5 by 11 something. Somebody to sign something, and it would take no time at all. And you know, or I would never like you. If you have any, do you carry any 8.5 by 11s that you would sign making the shot and go?
Do I carry 8.5 by 11s?
Something,
no.
Oh anything? Yeah, don't lie.
What are you talking about?
I've seen them in your trunk. You have a box of 8.5 by 11s.
You're such.
You are lying. It's terrible. But you should. You should for something like this. That would be great. That would be better than anything else you could.
But
have done.
I listened to Jeff at Jeff Sports tell me that my 8 by 11s are worth nothing.
Of you making that shot, there's got to be. Right, there's a picture.
Oh, there's absolutely pictures. Yeah.
I'll
celebrating?
I'll get you some. Yeah, that's what you should hand out to people.
If you buy me some 8x11s, I'll add it to the tab.
You can buy it for yourself.
I'm joking. I owe him $550. If you buy me, I'll add it to the tab.
You have some Lithuanian trading cards you keep
I'm running out of those. I only have 2 left, so now those are no longer being given away.
Those are worthless.
But those are memories that mean a lot to me, Homer.
Fine, keep them. They don't mean anything to anybody else. That shot is forever.
I know. In this state, it means something. Lithuania, it doesn't mean anything.
And he may not know of the shot, but he'll learn about that shot if he's got the picture.
Yeah, it's a quick
so
Google
get
or it, YouTube.
Get that to him. Get he'll call in. Send that to him, and
Jackson's,
you're done.
Jackson's dad, if you're listening, or
yeah,
Jackson, call back in. Ben Bruss wants to help you more. He didn't do enough for you on your birthday.
That's
though. It's a quick question to the media guy who you work with it there, and just say, hey, this kid comes. We did it on the show. It'll be a great look for the Bucks to give him something nice and special.
Yeah.
Stick him on the Jumbotron. I thought at least you were going to get some Jumbotron.
Maybe a player's
activity.
Got some wristbands.
Sweatbands.
Yeah, sweatbands, something.
But
crap.
No.
But you sat him down at the radio booth.
I was at his halftime.
Again, all that stuff is secondary.
This is a Comrex unit.
You need to get him that picture and sign it to him. He'll love it. That's way better than all this other stuff. Because and then he has that. He'll learn about it. You should carry that at all times. All times.
All times?
No, he can't, Homer.
That's
can I tell you why? Because I can't tell if you're being sincere or
I'm
not.
I'm totally being sincere.
Because sometimes I like to play one over on Ben. You know how, what's the best word?
Pretentious.
Pretentious. That would look, thank you.
Hey, you need a card?
No, no, you don't.
No. The idea, Ben Bross was he is a Badger legend.
Right.
He means something to people in the state of Wisconsin.
Right.
I'm not trying to undersell that.
Right.
I would think a lot less of Ben Brust if I knew he was carrying around 8.5 by 11s of himself. You can't do it. You can't be known as the guy who's like, oh yeah, hold on. Let me take out of my backpack a picture of myself so I can autograph it. It's something endearing about not being expected to sign an autograph because you don't think of yourself in that light. If Zach Showalter walked in the room and I said, oh, you know what? My niece is a huge fan.
Yeah.
I don't expect him to just be like, oh, hold on. I got a Sharpie in my sock. Let me sign something for it.
Again, that would be different than having a few in your car, in your trunk. You may not use it for I don't know how long, but if I ever did anything like that, I'd have a few.
Well, I think we know that.
Oh, okay. Then I can.
Are we calling Homer pretentious?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying it'd be great. I can see Homer walking around with this.
No, I'm not walking around. I'm not doing it and looking to give it out, but it's there for a situation like this. It's
special. Got one in his pocket at all times.
I actually did have a shot every bit as famous as that one, other than the fact that it was in eighth grade. Sudden death. Ended the game. Ended the game.
All right, hold on.
We're the diocesan champ.
Okay.
In overtime, sudden death.
Can I get a quick breakdown of the matchup? How much time was on the clock?
It was sudden death. It was after an overtime. Whoever scored 2 points in a row won the game. Places packed. The high school gym. South Bend St. Joe's against Holy Cross. Now, ooh. I had already screwed up the game by fouling to make the game go into overtime, and it missed free throws. Which
what position are you playing?
Bench. The guy fouled, so I'd been benched. I was a starter. They benched me. We lost to them earlier in the day to force a second game that they played at the high school gym.
Like a double elimination?
Well, no, because then we were tied. We had to see who decided to represent South Bend in the diocesan, and it's tied in overtime, and the ball comes right to me. I lay it up and in, bank it up and in, and we win the game.
It's the greatest ball comes right to you. Did it fall out of the sky?
Yeah, you'd have to ask my brother. He makes fun of me more than I can, because he said it was the luckiest thing that ever occurred in the history of basketball. Probably did. But the most important shot ever in grade school basketball in South Bend, Indiana. At the gym where Tom Abernathy and John Laskowski played. And it was packed.
Everyone knows them.
What do you mean? They were on Abernathy's on the unbeaten Indiana team, the last unbeaten team in college basketball. Laskowski played for Indiana, played for the Bulls.
Everyone knows them.
Everybody knows them. They were on the team the year before and would have won
the national championship. And Scott May not gotten hurt in the tournament. They lost to Kentucky. You don't know the last unbeaten team in college basketball?
Of course, Indiana.
I mean, I understand it's tough in the Big Ten.
Oh, here we go.
Look, I understand the importance of that team. I'm more interested in what their contributions were in that gym during grade school basketball.
No, in grade school?
Yes.
Probably.
Because you said that you have the greatest shot in the history
and
of
you're
South
Bend. You're a lefty, right? Was it a layup?
Death wins the game. How could you be bigger than that?
Was there a court storming? What was the celebration like?
This seems so made up. He can't remember the details.
It was 50 years ago.
The coach, Tom Schmidt, came a running on the court. He weighed like 250 pounds, and he had like size 20
shoes. Pick you up?
He picked me up, yes.
After benching you?
I'm sure he was amazed because I screwed the game up so badly.
Hey, True! What do you say?
I don't know. We'll have to call him up. He might still be alive.
Now, your family famously doesn't celebrate birthdays. Did they celebrate that shot? Was there something special for you there for dessert? You go out and get ice cream.
We did have people come over to the house after the game.
Wow.
Which was odd for us.
But the buzz was so big.
No.
It was a coincidence.
Danny Bird of the guard who saved us by dribbling the ball through overtime so we wouldn't lose. He came up and goes, "You know, we only won that game because I played like this, and you're the luckiest person in the world." And I went, "Yep."
That's not a very nice thing to say.
Yeah, what a jerk.
No, it was the truth. It was fine. I wasn't bothered by it at all. I felt terrible, and I'm supposed to be really happy. It went from being the stupidest player. We're up by two.
He was so bad that if he did anything worse,
I come on the court and foul. We're actually up by three. I come up and foul a guy, and he makes the first free throw, misses the second one on purpose. They get the rebound and lay it up and in and send the game into overtime. How can you be that stupid? And then I'm like a 90% free thrower. In sudden death, I get fouled. All I got to do is make the two free throws. We win the game. Brad missed the first one. I mean, it's the greatest pathetic performance ever, and then for some reason the ball lands and I lay it up and
I don't
win
buy
the game.
This story for a
Fine.
Second.
I'm gonna have my brother
yeah,
call.
Yeah, I would love to hear from your brother.
I would actually love to have your brother on our show.
I want
to.
Can you text Josh DiMaggio your
number? I want to get to the bottom of this. It's called the greatest shot in the history
South Bend history.
South Bend grade school.
Yes. Right.
Sudden death to
now
one
I know why Homer.
Sudden death in a second game the same day. They beat us the first time, so we had to play again that day.
That's probably why you missed those free throws. Homer did legs.
No, I was benched the whole first game, and then the second game. The only reason I got in was because the guy fouled out, and they had to put me in. And within 30 seconds, I do the stupidest thing you could ever do. And in the end.
So now I know why you would carry around 8x11s, because you stunk.
No, I you got to do something special. You know,
Ben
you did something
all
special.
Mean.
No, it doesn't have to be mean.
I mean,
anyway, yes, I'll give him my younger
the
brother.
The Scalzo Brothers family is already calling because I don't think they believe this story either.
That's fine. That's my brother, and I'll tell him.
Josh isn't talking, so somebody's just talking.
No, because he knows
right
I don't
now.
Have a headphone, so I can't hear him.
No, well, right,
I'll give him my brother's number.
What's your brother's name?
Greg.
We're efforting for Greg True as we speak.
Yeah. All right, we are working on it. We will get to the bottom of this story. Thank you, Homer. Go North Carolina.
Oh, we were texting last night, by the way, me and Homer, because I watched The Greatest Showman. And he loves The Greatest Showman, and we're going to watch it together one day, I promise.
It was, a good distraction. I'm glad we did that.
Yeah, that was probably the least meaningful thing that may have ever been said on this show.
I've said way meaningless things.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Thank you, Josh. 800-990-3776. Who just called?
That was somebody who was just regaling me in their story that was much like Homer's.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
Actually, please call in. I want to hear everyone's glory moment.
Glory days.
We want to hear your glory days. We just heard from Homer, the greatest shot he ever made, the greatest shot in the history of South Bend, Indiana grade school basketball by our very own Steve the Homer True. He loves his school. We love our school. Tomorrow kicks off one of my favorite
events.
I was going to say days, but it's multiple
it's
days.
18,
one of my favorite
18,
events. Of
1848 minutes. It's like a day and a half-ish.
Yes, a day and a half. My favorite day and a half of the year, Day of the Badger.
It starts during Wilde and Tausch. They're going to be talking all about it tomorrow, and it's going to start at 10:12 and go to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, April 6th for that 1,848 minutes, the year University of Wisconsin was founded. Go to dayofthebadger.org so you can find out how you can get involved. What you do is you give a gift to a place that means something to you to help create a diverse and inclusive campus, to help fund critical research. I mean, it is amazing that we can continue to have the University of Wisconsin-Madison here in the state of Wisconsin and continue to have that world-class education. Continue that by going to dayofthebadger.org and find a place in the schools that are listed where you can give a gift. I know where I've given my gift to. It's to my school, how I somehow graduated from that. Very proud of that. That's where I'm standing here today. And you can get involved too by going to dayofthebadger.org. Also take pictures, use selfies by getting to dayofthebadger.org and hashtag dayofthebadger on social media. Going to be talking all about it the next couple days, dayofthebadger.org.
Love Day of the Badger. Love the University of Wisconsin. They do so much great work. You can put your money where you want to. Be on the lookout for all things Day of the Badger here. Over the next couple of days, we're efforting for Homer's brother, Greg True. We'll get to the bottom of this. Plus, Devontae Parker gets traded. What are the Packers going to do at wide receiver? All coming up on Scalzo and Russ, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo, and Brust.
Are we done?
Yes.
Yep. Moving on.
Aaron Rodgers did talk earlier today. Oh, John!
Come on now! John, you hound dog, you!
Grind on time.
All right. What do we... Come on!
It ain't ever gonna happen. It ain't no random.
I'm good.
Go.
No,
like, I
want
to hear it full.
No, I only know that part.
Scalzo and Brust.
Crying all the time.
Crying all the time.
Nothing but a hound dog.
Hey, nothing but a hound dog.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Across ESPN Wisconsin, he is big time Benny Bucks. I'm Greg Scalzo. Steve the Homer True hanging out with us here as well. You hear him weekdays 2 to 4 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee on Homer and Tony. This originated because Ben Brust didn't overpromise, but just underwhelmed a birthday boy on Friday who was going to the Bucks game.
Underpromise, underdeliver.
It's fair.
How about underpromise and just deliver
on the underpromise? So Ben Brust basically just let a birthday boy sit in his chair that he does the radio broadcast in for a couple minutes.
It's a cool view. Time,
and gave him a cool
view. You're halfway
view.
Out of the building. Come on, I'm gonna get a cool view.
It's like a bird's nest. Like you can see above everyone.
You know what? You know what you want to do is the kid. Anybody wants to be courtside, right? Courtside,
of course.
One, and you can sell the bluff that you courtside, as I try to do. But that's where the kid wants to be.
I have naturally. I have access to the floor. I could have just got him a picture on the court. I
mean, you decided to get a picture with his
some radio gear on
him. And Homer,
Homer's disgusted.
Homer
by this.
Was saying,
"No,
that
you'll work it out.
I'll learn from this."
No, Homer, we'll work it out on his behalf. We'll do all the work to make sure Jackson gets taken care of, and Ben will get what little credit there is. Left to give. That's how the show works. Homer was saying Ben Brust should have a 8.5 by 11 just glossy photo ready to sign at any time, and said if I ever made a shot like that, in fact, wait a second, I did. I made the greatest shot in the history of South Bend grade school basketball in a sudden death overtime game 2 against the same team
in a high school gym that was played with by one of the starters on the last unbeaten team in college basketball with the high school head coach who went on to be Bob Knight's assistant.
You're a grade school champion.
That's correct, yeah. And I've been efforting to find the box score from the 1968 matchup, but we don't have that. So in lieu of that, we do have Greg True, brother of Homer.
2 years younger.
On the line right now.
He was a sixth grader then.
So his memory of this is actually sharper than yours.
He attended, but he was too smart to go to this school. He went to the private school for really smart kids.
Well, Greg True, welcome into Scalzo and Brust. Thank you for joining us here. We heard Homer's interpretation of the events that took place that day. We'd like to hear yours. So how did this happen from the original mistakes that, I guess you probably don't call your brother Homer, the original mistakes that Steve made on the court to his valiant triumph?
Well, it's probably going to disappoint you guys a bit because my hunch is you're probably wanting to give him a hard time, and this is one of those crazy times in life where reality goes way beyond fiction. And what really happened, it's frozen in time. Let me, it's kind of like when it's the South Bend Catholic School version of Villanova beating Georgetown, because you have this powerhouse Catholic school with about 1,000 kids and little St. Joe grade where Steve and I went, and I was only on the team because Steve was an eighth grader. I was a sixth grader. We had our own team, but
I didn't even remember.
They let me play on varsity, be on the team. So I just sat on the bench and watched things. So I'm a pretty good source on this. But what happened was the Steve's team, our team, we were 8-1 going into the last day of the season, and the other team is 9-0. They got 2 6-foot kids. They got 3 kids who go on to play D1 basketball. And we're this poor little team with a 26-year-old coach from Kentucky. And somehow, in the morning game, this little St. Joe plays the perfect game and beats the big powerhouse, like, I'm guessing 41-35 or something. It's an eighth-grade game, but it's on a high school gym. Anyway, so they
no three-point line. That's high scoring.
Well, it gets crazier because in the evening game, I'm saying there are at least 2,000 people there, maybe 3,000. The place is packed because in those days, you know, this is the height of the baby boomer. When we go to church, every row has 7 kids and 2 parents. And so this is a big deal, and the little St. Joe is playing Mighty Holy Cross. Steve was either a starter or a sixth man. I don't remember a lot about the game except at the end. Now, one thing, Steve skipped a grade when he was younger. So when he was in eighth grade, he still looked like a sixth or seventh grader. I mean, he was not one of these kids who was a man at eighth grade. He was kind of a little guy because he was actually a year younger. Anyway, so late in the game, it's back and forth the whole way. It's like, I'm guessing 46-45 or something like that with about 10 seconds left. and the best shooter for Steve's team, for our team, goes to the line to shoot two, and the team is down, but we're down one. The shooting team is down one. And so I still remember the guy. His name was Dan. Anyway, Dan makes the first shot. It's incredible. The place is going crazy. It's 46-46. Place is going nuts. Now, for some reason, Steve is in the free throw line that's usually reserved for the center or the forward, not the closest, but the second closest because he's on the shooting team. And I swear, when Dan missed that second free throw, it's like everybody stood still. It was just frozen in time. Nobody moves. Steve goes into the middle of the lane, gets the rebound, and he's left-handed. And then he goes up with kind of a mini hook shot just before the buzzer goes off and banks it in. And here's this, you know, little 5'4 guy out-rebounding the 2 6-footers who were just kind of standing there because they, I guess they didn't expect him to miss the shot or something. And so Steve hits the bucket, you know, probably a 5-foot shot, and the buzzer goes off. And so, you know, Villanova beats Georgetown by 2. And it was Steve who told me this litany of mistakes he made the last 2 minutes. I don't remember any of that. I just remember him making the winning shot. And here you have, I remember the coach. He just, it was just amazing that this little scrawny, our uniforms were cheap. You know, we didn't, I don't think any of the subs played except for maybe one guy. And somehow, you know, the early morning game was just flawless. And so we won by 6 or 7
points. Now, the debate is whether or not I oversold that it was the greatest shot ever made in the history of grade school basketball in South Bend, Indiana.
I would say it was the most pressure-filled shot. Wow. Yeah, I mean, to win on an offensive rebound on a free throw is not a common thing. But what I still remember was this feeling that everybody just kind of stood around and watched you. It's not like you battled for the rebound. It just kind of came to you in the middle.
Isn't that a metaphor for Homer's life?
It's fine.
Well, let's just say very few of us have that experience of making a last-second shot to win a championship
now,
with 3,000 people.
So that you can move on. You don't
But I want to understand the celebration, because I'm getting that, like was this, like, the crowd is rolling
there's 3,
in, and there's parents,
people.
And that's you've right. got all thousands of people
hip,
cheering.
Hip, hooray!
Like,
are they tossing them in the air?
Well, you could probably, I'm sure in your area, in the state of Wisconsin, there's some, it's kind of like mini Hoosiers, you know? It's just we weren't poor kids, but it's like this other
I borrowed shoes to wear for that game.
Yeah.
I didn't have my own.
Yeah, one
shoes
of the best players, he slid around the floor all the time because he couldn't find shoes. But the other school must have had 1,000 kids, and that the school's still open with maybe 400. How the hell they put 1,000 kids in that building? I don't know. But
I do want to mention one last thing, that this is not even the most famous thing our family ever did athletically. That's why I had Greg tell the story. He holds a Little League record today that he set in 1960 whatever, and will never be broken.
1968, a big year for the Trues.
Yes. So in a Little League game, he struck out every hitter.
You had 27 for 27.
No, it's 6 innings.
No,
in
only
Little
do 6 innings.
18.
That's
8. You can't break it. It can't be broken.
Has it been tied?
I'm sure, many times. Thousands of times. But the best part is, in one of the innings, the second baseman makes an error, and Greg gets mad at the kid. Come on, you stink! Whatever he says. If he makes the play, there are only 17 strikeouts.
No
the
perfect
error
game.
Allowed him to strike out every hitter. That record will never be broken.
Which accomplishment is greater?
That one's his is much greater. It's the,
I don't know.
It never can be broken.
It was David versus Goliath for you.
Well,
yeah. Steve's was more amazing because of the circumstances of the two teams and the in Little League, you can't do this thing where you can strike out 4 guys in an inning.
Right, because it's automatically a strikeout even if the catcher doesn't catch the ball. You can't strike out more than 18. Can't pitch more than 6 innings.
The team we were playing was probably last in the league, and the team you guys beat. It was just,
Yeah, the closest I can think of it was like when Villanova managed to beat what was probably one of the best teams of the last 50 years.
That's right. The U.S. Olympic team defeated the Russians. That was probably the closest thing to matching my game-winning shot, though. So I didn't even remember
the team
it.
He rattled off. I don't remember any of these mistakes. He said something about the ball out of bounds.
Yeah, I gotta call Danny Berta. He'll tell me. He'll remember all the errors. So I'm not sure what I remember. Greg.
Drew, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. Pleasure to talk to you, the smarter of the true brothers, per Homer.
Yeah, he has
I don't believe that.
PhD in education.
Ooh,
He's gotcha. Yeah. He's gotcha.
Better at school.
With,
I don't know about
sister with a PhD
smarts.
In psychology. At
street
Cal
smarts, though, you win.
Brother with a PhD in astrophysics at Princeton. My dad a PhD in. And
street smart stuff.
Emmy Award winner Homer, everybody.
No one else has won an Emmy.
That is true.
And nobody else beat loaded Holy Cross team.
They had 1,000 kids in that school.
Basketball. Sticking with grade school, I guess maybe middle school. We are now joined by The Jackson from Friday to tell us about his experience with Ben Bruss. This show keeps getting wilder and wilder. Jackson, welcome to Scalzo and Bruss here live on the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Live, First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. How did you enjoy your experience on Friday night with Ben Bruss?
It was pretty good. He took me into the play-by-play room and let me see inside there. What's even though I didn't get anything, and I got kicked out in the first, 2 minutes. It was still great.
Wow. So it was 2 minutes with you, and Ben Bruss just hung out, took a picture of you, and rushed you out of the radio booth? Because it's not really a room. You're basically just in seats with a table in front of you.
Could have stayed there the whole time.
Yeah, he had to talk to his boss.
Oh.
That is right.
Do we believe
Carney?
This?
No. Wex. Wex came around.
You passed up Jackson for Wex?
I had
Jackson, he did not need to talk to Wex.
No.
Wex would tell you himself that he did not need to talk to him. Wow.
Exactly.
So is it rude of me to say that he's welcome to come up for an entire Marquette game next year?
No.
Ooh.
I think you're in good shape.
I'm okay. That's not offensive to...
No, Jackson, you're hearing the voice of Marquette basketball. This is Steve the Homer True here, who's on with us. We're regaling tales of the 1968 South Bend Indiana grade school championship.
That was funny.
We did show prep today. I didn't think we were going to be here, but I love it.
All right, so Jackson, let's be honest. Did you get a soda? Did Ben buy you a Coke or something? A Chick-fil-A sandwich?
Nope, nothing.
No autograph? You expected something, right?
Yep.
All right. See, he's very disappointed. You can hear it in his voice.
He sounds like the worst birthday ever.
It sounds like Ben Bruss ruined your birthday on Friday night. It sounds like you thought you were going to have a great night at the Bucks game. Then the Bucks didn't play any of their players, and Ben
Jackson,
was there to save it.
You saw a Clippers franchise record in points scored.
We didn't even stay for the whole thing.
That's your loss.
No, it's not.
They just wanted to listen to you on the radio coming home.
All right. Well, we're gonna. What can Ben do for you now? You want an autograph? Who's your favorite Bucks player?
I already got one from Giannis, so probably Chris.
All right, Chris Middleton.
We're efforting.
Ben Bruss will set something special up for you, Jackson. And overall, I guess.
No, can I ask Jackson one question?
Yeah, but real quick, I just want to ask him on a grading scale. Do you give his Ben Bruss effort to make your birthday special a D, a C, a B? What kind of grade do you give him?
Probably a C. Playoff tickets would have been nice.
There you go. Homer?
I was going to ask him, if he could have anything, what would he want?
What are you, Santa Claus?
Probably playoff tickets.
Playoff tickets.
This kid's going too far.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
That's, he's
give
crossed,
a thank
he's,
you for the call.
He's crossed the line.
If Ben Bruss cares about you, Jackson, he'll get you playoff tickets. We'll work on something in the meantime. The idea that you... Literally, a kid on his birthday, you threw to the wolves because you had to kiss ass?
Yeah. When you put it like that, I mean, I guess that's what I did.
I mean, that's 100% what you did.
Didn't even give him your sandwich voucher that you get?
I know where my checks get written. They're not by Jackson.
Your checks get signed. That's
whatever.
The term.
But like,
checks are written. That was good.
Oh my goodness. All right.
I feel like we're on a podcast right now.
Yes, because we're not taking breaks. Speaking of, we're going to have to do that. We'll come back. Thank you, Homer.
My pleasure.
I very much appreciate it. If you find any, like, yearbook
pictures,
thing, like, I want to
were there cameras
more Homer
back then?
Stories here.
No, well, actually, it's funny that my horse broke down on the way to the game, and so I didn't get there for the morning game. And it was Greg didn't bring that up.
That was a serious question. That was dead serious.
Is the horse thing serious, too?
It's my favorite horse. I named Trigger. It's named after Roy Rogers' horse.
Woo. A lot happened in 1968, but none bigger than Greg True's 18-strikeout performance in Homer's game-winning shot to propel St. Joe's past Holy Cross in the 8th grade Diocese League of South Bend, Indiana. Thank you, Homer.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you very soon. 800-990-3776. We got 1 or 0 coming up next. That's Scalzo and Bross presented by Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo and Bross.
I don't want the video to start with you just with the watermelon between your legs. There's going to be a lot of action at your place tonight, huh?
Stuff squirting everywhere.
Heck yeah.
Probably the most action you've had in months, huh?
Juices are flying.
Stream live and listen anytime on your time on Wisconsin On Demand.
If you missed the story of the greatest shot in the history of grade school basketball in South Bend, Indiana, make sure to go back and...
It's worth your time.
Tune in to the podcast form of Scalzo and Bross, wherever you listen to your podcast. The story of Steve the Homer True, 1968, big time perennial powerhouse, Holy Cross going up against the smaller upstart St. Joe's. St. Joe's having to borrow shoes from other players. And who is it but our very own Steve the Homer True to hit a game-winning basket
off a missed free throw as a 5'4 scrawny kid against 2 6-footers.
Offensive rebounds galore. Scrappy. That's the Steve True we know. His
yep.
brother. Big thanks to Greg True for joining the show.
He's got like a memory like someone I've never met.
We also
an elephant.
We also found out that
thank you.
Ben Brust brought... birthday boy Jackson into the radio booth, took one picture where Ben looks like, all right, is this it? Is this all I have to do? Can I move on now? And
what?
Then
I look happy as hell
you
there.
Big time.
Then
child.
Left him to go and kiss the ass of his boss. Which he didn't need to do.
No.
He just...
It's on brand, at least.
It is on brand, but it's a kid who called you to make his birthday special because he was going to a Bucks game in which the top 8 players were sitting out. He went to a glorified G League game. You put him in the booth for 2 minutes, strapped these headsets on him, took a picture, and then you were like, sorry, I got to go talk to my boss. As if you had to.
I mean, he texted me, can we come over for a little bit? And I said, yes. And so I did have to.
Do you think your boss would have, if you would have said, hey, there's a kid here, it's his birthday, I'm showing him around, letting him get a little experience, he'd have been like, oh, that's cool?
Or
should we call
introduce
him?
The boss to Jackson and say, hey, Jackson, this yeah. is Steve Wexler. He's been running radio stations for, isn't that cool? Like there was so much you could have done there.
I panicked.
You just wanted to get rid of Jackson. It's
yeah,
just us
just
now.
Tell
you
us.
Well,
just
I mean,
like,
look, after,
kid.
I mean, I have Whisper, no problem.
Come on, tell us.
I mean, come on. Look, your kid's calling and ask for playoff tickets. Who does he think he is?
You got to get him playoff tickets now, though.
You got it.
You have to.
He's got
to
get his own.
He put you in a corner.
Body baked you.
I mean, like, it's legit.
I mean, he definitely owned me
you
on my own radio show.
You could have gotten him a Jordan Nwora autograph and been done with
it's
it.
It's Wara.
Jordan Nwora.
Wara.
That's what I'm saying.
The N is
we're saying,
silent.
We're saying it's the same thing. Saying the same thing.
No, we're not.
You could have put him on the Jumbotron.
Guys, I failed Jackson. I kissed ass. Like, I did everything I normally do. I don't know why you guys are shocked. This is on you guys again.
So basically you're like, yeah, I'm underwhelmed and I'm going to underdeliver for this kid. And that's what everyone should expect, so get off my back.
I mean, Jackson's tone on the phone didn't make me feel like I want to do more for him.
You ruined his birthday.
You ruined the kid's birthday.
ruined it. He'll never have that day back.
Hilsey says, based on his history, didn't Ben Brust actually over-deliver? It's an interesting way to look about it.
Jason, I like that angle.
Jason, the official, unofficial muscle of the Scalzo and Brust family, 6'4", 270.
No big deal.
Says, Jackson is going places in life. Ryan in Sheboygan says, I want to hear Jackson versus Benny on Are You Smarter Than? Wow, that would be high stakes.
Is Jackson just another Ben? Is he just Ben? Is that why Ben didn't like him?
What do you mean?
Ben clearly didn't like him. He met this kid and he could have said, hey, look, Jackson's my guy. Or he could have said, get away from here.
I mean,
I'm going to go chat with my boss.
You're the guy who would for sure ask, hey, it's my birthday. I deserve something. So make it happen.
In a sweeter tone.
Did you see a little of yourself in Jackson while he was sitting there in that chair?
I couldn't tell if he was having fun or not.
Well, Ben, you literally said out loud, oh, I guess I could have easily taken him onto the court and gotten his picture taken on the court. And instead, you took the laziest path where you just said, oh, take your picture in the stands here where we do a radio broadcast. I'm going to go talk with Wax, our boss.
Trying to find a good excuse right now, guys, and I got nothing.
800-990-3776. We'll go to Liz in Greendale. Liz, welcome to Scalzo and Brust via the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. 60 seconds on tonight's national championship game. What do you got?
I just am actually curious as to Ben's predictions.
I have bet Kansas minus two in the first half and Kansas minus four and a half for the game. That's all you need to know, Liz. Right there. Fade it or follow it.
Can Liz, you're still listening. Can we cut a deal? You have to ask an actual question.
You can't just go, Ben, talk about your predictions. Also, nobody cares about Ben's Kansas versus North Carolina prediction.
I also, like, I could break it down, but like, I don't think anybody really wants me to.
We're good. We're good.
You sure?
I want you to break down the Palermo Screaming Sicilian pizza you're going to be making.
Woo!
But I want you to, break it down like you were breaking down a team.
Okay. Well, I'll break down Kansas because the Screaming Sicilian that I'm is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying like, all right, it's got a really strong crust. We love the crust on the Screaming Sicilian.
Well,
and tonight we're going to go with the
Mambo Italiano.
There you go. Like, I mean, give me like you're breaking it down.
And I'll tell you, because all the ingredients, I was going to say I could do that for the Badgers too, but it's like a starting five. The Screaming Sicilian is like a starting five because you have that whole milk mozzarella cheese. That is a solid starting point guard. That is something you know that's going to deliver. See what I did there? Deliver point guard. It's going to deliver every single time that you eat that pizza, not to mention that special secret sauce. That's usually that three-point shooter that's going to be silky smooth behind the arc.
Woo!
And you mentioned the foundation. You know what a great foundation is? That real butter and craft-styled stone-fired crust. That is David McCormick for Kansas. The center tonight, baby. The center. And not to mention all the toppings you could ever imagine on a delicious pizza. That's how you round out the top five with a small forward in David Abaji. That's not his name.
You just got cocky right there.
I did.
You blew it.
I did.
You blew that last
Christian
name.
Braun I could have went with, and then Abaji's a really tough one. I don't know why I went there.
You don't know who Lou Gehrig is. Stop bragging about
Holy Pepperoni, Mother of Meat, Mambo Italiana, Supremus Maximus, Thin and Crispy. You know the drill, people. Screaming Sicilian. Find your screaming pleasure. Woo! In your local grocer's freezer.
1-0 next on Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brust.
Have you ever been in a bookstore?
I mean, I think I've been to Barnes & Noble like to like pick out a book for like somebody for Christmas. Like, what, Josh?
Have you ever been in a bookstore? Like any ever at all?
Yes. Could you rent stuff from like a Barnes & Noble?
I don't think so.
Yeah, then I'm not thinking of the same spot. That's probably the library.
Stream live and listen anytime on your time on Wisconsin On Demand.
Presented by Bud Light, the world. world's greatest beer. Like, clean, crisp, refreshing. What's up?
What's up? Joshy?
I started it.
Oh, you did?
You did.
Yeah.
Usually we have to, like, nudge you.
Who, I know. What
happened? You've got this confidence all of a sudden. Is this girlfriend of yours?
No, I was just feeling a little wild today, you know? Sometimes you let your hair down.
The Jackson saga continues as Ben Brust ruined a young child's birthday on Friday. Jackson's dad chimes in, says, I think Ben forgot that we were coming and wasn't really prepared for us at the Bucks game. Now I know how Greg and Josh feel every day. Hilsey just says the family is being a pain in the ass today with these calls so far, and I'm proud of us, which I agree. I'm proud of you guys, too.
Ron and McKee hasn't called yet and made a bad call, so right. It hasn't been completely.
You just sent the invites
out. It's a bad signal.
Mark in New Berlin hasn't called in and had a crappy call in a while. Who else wants to have a crappy call? 800-990-3776.
See, why are you lashing out now, Ben? Because it's very clear it's because you're being called out for being...
Yeah, I mean, trust me.
Jordan Cederberg, very smart guy. The official and unofficial robot builder of the Scalzo and Russ family. Chimes in.
DVD guy.
800-990-3776.
Is our robot builder really smart if he's still in DVD land?
I kind of want my robot builders to still be in DVD land. Like, I hope he still, like, fixes up old record players. Like, he's like an analog guy.
All right, hope he's smart.
I mean, he builds robots.
Aren't robots inherently not analog?
Have we seen a picture of the robots?
Shut up, Joshy. You know what I mean. He knows how to work with...
I think he's a robot fraud. I think he called himself a robot without a robot builder.
Have we seen proof of robot work?
Yes, he sent us pictures of the robots.
That never happened.
I've seen the robots. Positive about the robots.
Okay.
He chimes in. See, Ben is defensive before we even get to Jonah's comment here. And you should be, because Jonah Cederberg says, Ben disappointing his fans and sucking up to his boss and then trying to shift the blame onto the kid is right on brand for big-time Benny Brust. And it's exactly what happened. Ben literally pushed this child out of the way on his birthday to go and kiss the ass of the boss so that he could then... And that was blaming the kid for doing so.
Did I do that?
100%. You didn't like his attitude and the fact that he's asking you for playoff tickets now.
Well, now I don't.
You ruined his birthday. You should get him season tickets.
Jackson's a little entitled right now.
You sound like the entitled one. You want all
about?
The love of the family all day, every day. When they ask you for, hey, be next to my kid at halftime, you literally flick them out of the way to go and run towards the money.
He's got a cool picture in the radio booth.
It's not a cool picture. I see the picture.
I've never seen a kid smiling more happy.
Oh, God. I would disagree with that. You called for it. You sent up the bat signal. Ron and the Key, welcome to Scalzo and Brust. Ron, what do you got?
30 seconds.
I can do it faster than 30 seconds.
Yeah, you can.
I said it in the text line already. In comparison, Tony Smith, who used to have this time slot for my daughter, Tony, half-court picture, while he's doing the television broadcast of a Bucks game with my daughter on the court. That's the comparison that Ben did, whereas my experience meeting Ben is much like, you know, Jackson, when I met him the first time. Very eerily similar.
Well, yeah, you act like Jackson in terms of
your ability.
And I'm just being mean now. Okay.
The first time Ben Brust met Ron of the Key was at the Wisconsin Sports Awards.
That was an all-time shoe away.
In which Ben Brust shooed Ron away. Because he smelt the money somewhere, and there was a lot of asses to kiss.
I am so good at kissing ass.
You really are. Like, I've told Josh this off the air, too. Like, it is a phenomenal skill.
I wish I had more of it.
I sniff that power, and I go kiss that ass.
I don't like you sniffing
the
ass.
Yeah, no. I get to watch it now every day, Greg.
When?
I sit next to the new program director we have around here. a guy that someone who hasn't, we haven't had this position in a while. And I honestly, I'm going to be honest, I expected Ben to be better at the ass kissing. He just walks in there and is like puckered up and just hoping something falls into his lap. He doesn't.
No plan. That's part of the charm.
No plan.
Part of the charm.
There's no plan.
He's so right, though. It's part of the charm. It's, hey, I'm going to go and make an idiot in front of you, and then I'm going to laugh and smile and walk away and do it every single day. It's like George Costanza. Costanza!
Greg, you fell for it, too. You hired me.
Yeah, but that wasn't because you kissed ass.
What did I do?
You didn't know to kiss my ass at the time.
And I've never kissed your ass.
Ain't that the truth, man. Ain't that the truth.
Are you jealous of all the kiss ass I do and
No, I just don't do it to you?
No, you
know, drive me crazy.
Oh, you would hate it. Do you hate that I do it as much as I do, or do you enjoy just witnessing it?
I respect it. Again, I wish I had more of it in me.
I hate it.
I can't bring myself to do it. I actually fight against it. I would rather hurt myself and my own prospects.
No shame or guilt.
Than to go ahead and feel like I'm putting myself below somebody else's
I yelled at you guys to go to break, but what amazes me, like, how much do you know about the new program director? Because my way of kissing butt is, like, getting to know and be friendly. Every time you seem to walk in there, you kind of just... don't say much.
I know he's from Michigan. I know. I
don't need to go into.
You could have told me generally. I know where he's from.
At the holiday party, I met a significant other. Like, we talked about Star Wars together. Like, what are you talking about, Josh? Like, I know a ton. He's a Star Trek guy. His significant other's a Star Wars
fan.
You
can be Star Trek and Star Wars guy all together.
I mean, they each have their own more favorites.
Let me tell the world about LabCorp Clinical Trials. LabCorpClinicalTrials.com. That's where you can go to find a variety of clinical research trials where you can get paid good money to help improve the health and lives of everybody. So get your head in the game and participate in clinical trials with LabCorp. Right now, studies looking for healthy non-smoking adults aged 18 to 60. Join for one clinic stay of 6 nights. That's it. Compensation up to $3,200 provided for your time and participation. Another study looking for a team player like you. Healthy non-smoking men aged 18 to 55. Join at their clinic for one stay of 14 nights with one follow-up call. Compensation up to $5,800 provided. Check them all out to see what fits your profile, to see what fits your schedule at LabCorpClinicalTrials.com. That's LabCorpClinicalTrials.com. Devontae Parker gets traded to the Patriots. The Packers reports, as always, they were in the mix. We'll talk about that. We'll hit some one or zeros. God, it's Masters Week this week. Plus, we'll keep talking with you, the Scalzo and Bruss family. 800-990-3776. Next, that's Scalzo and Bruss, presented by Bud Light.